Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is coming to First Ward Chop Shop in Wicker Park on July 19th. Chicago, make way for Night Jewel. Night Jewel, also known as Ramona Gonzalez, is a singer-songwriter from Los Angeles who's turned heads with her music, which draws from the R&B classics of the 80s and 90s like Janet Jackson or Mariah Carey, but it's presented with a sound just right for 2017. The new album, Real High, was released earlier this year, and like I said, she's coming to First Ward Chop Shop on the 19th of July. It is my pleasure to welcome Night Jewel to the Download. Night Jewel, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
It's fun to read the reviews and listen to the music, and there always seems to be a throwback to that idea of this music being inspired by the R&B classics, like I mentioned, Janet Jackson and Mariah Carey. Do you see it that way? Is that similar to the story that you'd like to be presented?
I mean, I definitely was inspired by certain aspects of Janet Jackson's aura from the 90s, where she was kind of like losing herself in her femininity and her sexuality. But at the same time, she's like a tough girl. She's a tomboy. And I have to say, I've probably been inspired by her for every record that I've done. But I think you can just like hear it more now because I've sort of like taken away bits of fuzz and ambience that previously covered up those influences.
What I love about the music is, you know, this idea that it is inspired, and you can hear the way that the music reflects that, but it also is very melancholy. It's very ambient in the way that it's something that sounds entirely different. And I wonder, when you talk about just the contrast of constantly people saying it's like Janet, or it's inspired by Janet Jackson, and then being able to produce the music that you do, how you like that contrast, how you like the idea of that being part of your music.
I mean, I'm extremely humbled by the fact that people think that it sounds like Janet. Those comparisons have been a little like crazy for me to even like think about because, I mean, she's one of my idols. I do think that the way that I speak is definitely a little bit more on the fringe than what Janet Jackson may have said in her albums. It is melancholy and it is there's a bit of like irony and winking that goes on throughout the album. But at the same time, like if you think about like a song like I Get Lonely from Velvet Rope, that album by Janet Jackson, mm-hmm. that was like a big hit. You know, that song is about being a loner and it's about being isolated and it's about not being able to like connect with people because you're just like so singular and you're doing your own thing. And I really relate to that. I mean, as artists, I mean, I'm not an antisocial person, but as an artist, you really have to get into your own head and your own space to be inspired. And sometimes that can be a little bit like of a crazy place to be in where you have melancholic thoughts.
Yeah.
It's natural.
It's funny because when you hear that an artist is inspired by Janet Jackson or Mariah Carey, you automatically think that, well, it's someone who wants to be a pop star, who wants to create, formulate, sort of, you know, the 3-minute track that's going to have a hook and is going to be played on Kiss FM, you know, that kind of thing. It's automatically where your brain goes to. You know, for you as an independent artist who is drawing, like you just mentioned, the inspiration to be able to connect with an artist on other levels rather than just the production of it, talk about that. Talk about how, you know, you can be inspired by an artist but not necessarily have to sound like they're produced?
I feel like pop music at that time was incredibly experimental. I mean, if you think about That's the Way Love Goes, like that was like a sample break, you know, it had a really mellow chorus. It was almost like she was like doing spoken word and singing. It was a really risque topic, you know, and I think that she was constantly innovating through lots of different ways. And I really despise these like classifications that separate experimental cutting edge music from stuff that's like R&B and soul. I think it like seeks to degrade like people in those genres, R&B genres, saying that like, oh, they're not doing something that's experimental, but they are. And it's true. It's whether you want to hear that experimental side or whether you want to hear the pop side and what you do with it. And for me, I just always felt that that music was incredibly innovative. Yeah. Maybe pop music is a little less innovative these days on certain levels.
I mean, that's a great way to put it. I mean, you think about when I talk about the R&B classics of the 80s and 90s, that there's an experimental legacy that's forgotten. You know, you automatically think about pop music and you say, well, it's going to be, like I just said, 3.5 minutes and here's the hook, here's the chorus. And it's going to be played 35,000 times on the radio. But there is something to be said that, you know, a lot of artists, Janet Jackson included, have done things that would, even in today's market, be considered experimental or independent.
Definitely. I mean, just the very fact that her albums are always like 100 songs and there's like crazy interludes and like some of the songs are really harsh and like almost unlistenable. You know, she's not trying to be like 100% palatable to anyone. That's why she always works with the same producers on every record, even with Unbreakable, her latest record, which I love. She's still working with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. And, you know, she's just like, she's honored her style and her voice. And I just really respect that. I think that she's less of a cookie cutter example of a pop star. And I don't seek to be a pop star, but I can't help be influenced by stuff I grew up with. I mean, I've listened to these records like 70 billion times because when you were my age, you only got a few albums every few months, you know, like you got like maybe 3 or 4 CDs and you would just play them out. We didn't have access to like streaming, you know, so I've just listened to these records so many times that even if I didn't necessarily think about her when I was making the record, it just is in there. It's always going to be there.
As an artist, as you continue your career and you continue to make records, I mean, you talked about Real High, this released earlier this year. How are you evolving when you think about, you know, some of the people we were just talking about, Janet Jackson, and how she's evolved and she's used experimental stuff and she continues to work with the same people. How in your career have you evolved as a musician to up to this point with Real High?
Well, it's been extremely circuitous, but nonetheless, I think that with this most recent album, Real High, I feel like it's become the most lyrically driven record that I've done.
Is that by design?
I'm not really sure what happened. I think just I was doing some sort of thing where I was making confessional music at the time. The songs that I was making when I first wrote the first song, Real High, in 2011, that's the title track. And I wrote that first song. It was a really confessional song. And it was so good. And it stuck with me from 2011 until when I started finishing the record. And I thought to myself, the whole record has to have this sort of feeling. And the feeling is lyric driven. And I had to like honor that moment, you know. Previously in my other albums, there were other things that I was more concerned about, whether it was, you know, certain kinds of like sonic palettes or confusing the listener or creating something extremely left field and innovative on certain levels. But this record was really just about making songs that were very personal. And so that's kind of just where it went. And that's my development, not only as an artist, but kind of as a person too.
We're talking with Night Jewel. She's got the new album, Real High, which just came out this year. She's going to be at Wicker Park at the First Ward Chop Shop on July 19th. When you talk about creating music, and even going back to 2011, but creating confessional music or personal music, is that a difficult thing to do? You know, as you start to work in that area and push towards telling the world more your story or more what's happening with you. There's part of that that's definitely, you know, about the art, but there's another that's about, you know, having to come to terms that people are going to listen and know more about your personal life. Is that a challenge as a singer-songwriter to really push yourself to be honest, to be real, to tell the truth in your music?
It's extremely difficult for me to be open in general as a person. So, like, my personality, like, on the day-to-day basis is I'm extremely like tough guy kind of personality. That's like what I am. I'm like a tough guy, right? I'm just like handling my business, never let anybody let you see you sweat and all that kind of stuff. So it's difficult for me in general to be very like open with people and tell them how I feel and be vulnerable. And Night Jewel is this area where I get to do that. And so it's extremely terrifying, not only to share it with people, but even to make it, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that's like what makes it good. It just, it's putting yourself on the line for the sake of a good song. And that's just what I tried to do.
You've produced music for years now, but I think about, you know, you were on Secretly Canadian and you moved to your own record label to produce, I think it's the last two pieces. Talk about the idea of producing your own music. And you just talked about this being personal and being confessional and having to deal with that fear of putting yourself out there, but also doing it on your own, in your own space, independently with your own record label.
Well, I'm crazy, so that's a fact. But you know what? Like, it's like I am being driven totally insane daily, on a daily basis, because I'm just doing everything, you know, like you're saying, the label, the music, the singing, the artwork, the photographs, blah, blah, blah. And it's totally maddening. However, like, I just am such a control freak. When I worked with other people, I just could not let them do anything. And so it's just for the best of everybody. You know, I think that Secretly and I were like in like a very like toxic relationship. You know, we were just like the power dynamic could never seem to like work itself out, basically,
right.
You know. And like any relationship, it's like sometimes you stay in a relationship for like 20 years and you just like end up hating each other, or you just like get out of it and you live on your own. And it's really scary to be on your own and everything, but it's better than just, you know, drudging through this like kind of thing. And I just chose that path and I'm pretty good at it. I mean, I'm excited to have a label and I'm excited to release more music from not only myself, but from new artists as well. And I love discovering new music and I love supporting independent musicians. So I just hope to do more of that.
I mean, was that the goal? I mean, as an artist, as you've moved throughout, you know, a music career, was the goal to at some point or another have your own space to not only do your music, but to help others?
I feel like I have a nose for good new music. I DJ a lot. I'm a collector. I love to discover new bands on college radio or whatever, like in the store. And so it's exciting for me to think of the prospect of supporting new artists. I want to focus on female artists too, and female electronic producers, you know, the best ones out there are already being snatched up by like bigger labels, but I'm holding out for something really special.
It's great to be in Los Angeles. And I think about you being in that town with the remnants of the giant music industry. And you think about all the artists that moved to Los Angeles to get the attention of record labels and make their way, you know, for you,
yeah,
to be in that town, to be where the music industry once was giant, but also be a part of an independent scene in Los Angeles. For artists that come out there now in Los Angeles, it's much more about being a part of the LA music scene as it is, you know, trying to get Elektra Records or whatever record company
to
come out to your show.
It's both. That's the funny thing about Los Angeles. It's this real split down the middle. In some cases, there's people coming here and they want to get signed, you know, and they make no bones about it. And then there's other people who want to be part of an artistic community. And the success of both or either really depends on how good the art is and like kind of nepotism and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I moved out to L.A. to join an artistic community. That's exactly why I moved. And I took a big risk and I just like packed everything into a pickup truck and I just drove to Los Angeles because I thought this is where the best art is being made. And you have to trust your instincts about that. I think that I made a really good decision. I was surrounded by such incredible music and art and I would never trade it in for the world. I mean, I think that in a way I was chasing that same like bright shining light of Hollywood in a really funny kind of unique way. And I think everyone should do it. I mean, L.A. is an incredible place. There's just really amazing art being made here.
Night Jewel is going to be at the First Ward Chop Shop in Wicker Park on July 19th. The new album, which came out earlier this year, is called Real High. Night Jewel, thanks for taking some time out to talk to us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You talk all-